Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome. It's me, Jesse. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. We're at the very tippity top of Burnaby Mountain, where we broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here gathering to tell stories and share music and art and culture and ideas since time immemorial. And I'm very grateful to be in this place with a long and varied history and do my own thing here. And I'm glad you're here to share in that. So make yourself comfortable. Sit down, stand up, walk around, keep driving, whatever works for you. Today on the show, a couple different pieces, sort of focused on Black History Month. We've got an interview from contributor Matthew, host of The Other Note on Wednesday evenings, our new jazz, funk, soul, R&B show. And that's an interview with Berlin Beam from the Black Arts Vancouver Society. So we'll get that. And then I spoke with Core Case, who is with AfroVan Connect and is leading a Black History walking tour out in Kitsilano that also includes a tasting component. So really excited to share both of those clips with you. And potentially, I am expecting to be joined in studio once again by Zarina. So we'll get there when we get there. We're going to start, as we always do here, with some local music, some new local music. This is from a band that I just discovered last week as I was preparing for my other show, the Vancouver Mixtape, Sundays at 8 p.m. They put out a demo called, very descriptively, Demo 2026. And it rules. And this song has one of the greatest synth hooks I've heard in quite a long time. And I love a synth in some sort of pop punk, pop rock setting. So, by Lovely, that's the name of the band, two girls with a synth and a guitar and a dream. This is Amber Gambler.
High ran every yellow fly on my way to you tonight.
Thank you. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Radio. Burnaby.
Hello, my name is Matthew. This is CJSF Radio 90.1, and I am here doing an interview with Berlin Beam, Executive Director of Black Arts Vancouver. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
Cool. So, yeah, we're just kind of talking as it's Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do a couple of spotlights of local black organizations.
That's us.
So one of the first things I want to ask you about is how Vancouver, like, doesn't seem to have a very large black community. How do you think that that affects the Black Arts Society? Like, what are the things that impact? How does that impact you guys?
Yeah, I think that Vancouver's black population, we can only speculate, really. I think that we tend to separate ourselves or only go to certain things. And what that looks like for an organization is just trying to find pockets of people. Trying to find, you know, you find one friend who does something and then they invite their friends. And so I see with a lot of organizations, we kind of utilize the same kind of crowd.
Hmm.
Vancouver's a very international city, so there's always a turnover with schools and things like that. So we try and hit that wave a little bit too. So it's a little bit of both of, like, the Vancouver population, you know, they have their own haunts that they they frequent.
Yeah.
But then you got to pull out the new people and show them what's up.
No, that's totally fair. So one of the things that I'm kind of curious about is, like, what do you think that people need to know about art in the Black and African diaspora? Like, what are the main, I know, artists that you admire or respect that you think people need to have more insight on?
I think, well, first of all, the arts that are coming out of Vancouver are varied. Like, people do so many different things, from visual arts and painting and illustration to animation to film and production to music production to, well, visual arts meaning like the murals and things like that you see around the city too. But there's a lot of performance coming out of Vancouver too, so comedians and stage acting and ballet and that kind of like performance. I forgot a bit about your question, but yeah, there's just a varied scope, and I think that sometimes people like to focus on one that's more marketable, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a big hodgepodge of everything. And I think when we talk about like black expression, what that looks like in the diaspora, like maybe it's like we focus on the specific, you know, I'm trying to think of an artist to reference, like Carrie Mae Weems.
Okay.
A photographer, visual arts, but a very, very well-known in a certain circle, right? So you say that name, and then everyone knows, like, the kitchen table series that she did. And then there's a lot of riffs off of that people do. But some of the artists that I do admire are, like, it is Carrie Mae Weems. Like, I do admire her work, because she's one of those people, again, where it doesn't matter if you're looking or not, she's always doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Another artist I really enjoy, his work, is Carlos Martiel. And he's from Cuba. He came and did a performance here through the Vancouver Biennale or Biennial, however you say it.
Right.
But again, performance art and kind of getting out of the gallery, getting out of the institution. And so, yeah, I think that it's just hard to find the funding and the space for it, when it really comes down to it, of like highlighting the artists that do the more strange, you know,
like avant-garde or out of the mainstream.
Yeah, I call it strange.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, that lets me kind of start asking another question, which is, like, how do you feel that the Vancouver art scene treats black artists and just the art of black people? Do you feel it's like a good embrasure or?
I think, well, specifically, it's Black History Month, so there's like a micro focus on it.
Yeah.
But I think that throughout the year, we kind of do get dismissed or we don't get opportunities. Like, I've been in Vancouver for 12 years now, and to see the progression of it, yeah, there has been progress in the exhibitions, but that's also the changeover in the staffing, in the direction of certain organizations. So I think that there's a lot to be improved upon, but I can't say that, you know, it's terrible. Like, Vancouver loves the arts, loves artist studios and weird happenings around the city. So, and I say weird and strange as, like, these kind of, like you're saying, like, avant-garde kind of happenings. But yeah, I think there's a, we get the focus of it in February, but we don't get the support throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, every February, or sorry, every Black History Month, we kind of see an uptick in
interest,
and also international artists being highlighted in the city. But it's hard to do that and then also not acknowledge your local, like, artists and things like that.
Yeah, of course.
And so, yeah.
So do you find then that, like, year round, even though there are things going on in Vancouver, like, there's not always a spot made for Black artists, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I feel, where even when you think about, like, 'cause we're an organization, right? So we apply for these fundings and these, opportunities. So even when you think about that, you know, yes, there are funding opportunities specifically for Black organizations, or technically for BIPOC organizations. And you kind of feel like, again, it's crabs in the barrel kind of thing of, we're all fighting for the same small opportunities.
Right.
While, you know, there's national funding and international funding that other organizations get, just solely based on the fact that, you know, they have the years behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of organizations that have started, like, we started in 2018 with Black Arts Vancouver. A lot of them started in 2020, 2022. And so, again, you don't have the years behind you to kind of build up, you know, your applications for these organizations.
So, yeah.
Or for the funding opportunities. But, yeah, it's kind of it's a win-win in a way, because, again, it forces you to connect with other organizations, you know, lend support and things like that. And there are, again, a lot of great organizations in Vancouver, so.
Okay. No, that's totally fair. Do you find that because it's kind of BIPOC is all put together, do you end up finding that, like, certain groups get highlighted in their month and it's just like a rotating?
Yeah, a little bit. It's a little bit of a rotation or a carousel. Yeah.
No. Okay. That's totally fair.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I want to ask about, and you kind of referenced it a little bit earlier. So we lost people, diasporic departures was a notable piece of yours and the society. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that?
Like, yeah.
What it was?
Yeah, that one came off the back of COVID. So we were still mid-pandemic. The founders and I got together. We were able to work with Naya Lewis, who at the time was the curator for that exhibition, the Sankofa exhibition at the Museum of Anthropology. But that work itself was a real turning point as an organization. Like, we started as a collective of artists, and then we kind of were shifting into that organization of being incorporated. But that was our kind of big, you know, collective work that we did. Again, highlighting the people that we've lost across the diaspora. Like, again, when you think about it talks about a lot of things, and I don't want to be like, and another thing, but it's very much like, you know, highlighting the response of the governments that we found ourselves in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the founders, his family, half his family is from Chicago, and seeing how they were affected by COVID. I'm from California, seeing how, again, we went through a shutdown. And again, we as a people like to make light of things. And so, again, seeing videos from back home, you know, the streets are empty and clear and everyone's being like, damn, COVID should happen every year kind of thing. And it's kind of like the joke of that, too, of like we were really like isolated. And so it was a big thing to, again, pull us out of ourselves, to be in a gallery show was a big thing for us, too. And again, the Museum of Anthropology is a big stage.
Oh, yeah.
And so to see people's reactions to it, the piece itself was two altars. Adorned with Adinkra symbols. So that's another tangent I'll take a little bit later.
Go ahead.
But it was adorned with Adinkra symbols, and then handmade pottery that my mother made. So it was kind of like, again, the idea of Sankofa is to go back, you have to go forward, or to go forward, you have to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of that ebb and flow of how you create things or how you kind of like organize yourself, even within community. And so, again, a lot of people were forgotten in that time. Like, we didn't talk about, it was a lot of, there's a word I'm looking for, absurdity that came with COVID. So,
okay.
Even when you talk about stimulus checks and things like that, where, like, Canada, it was like the CERB, right?
Yeah.
The Canadian Emergency Relief Benefit.
Right.
So people were getting $2,000 checks, but if you were on disability at that time, you weren't even getting $2,000, right? And so it's the absurdity of, again, the government has it, but they won't give it to certain people, mm-hmm. right? And so, again, you're seen as a little bit lesser, and not worthy of the benefit of survival in that moment. And so it was kind of like a highlighting a little bit of the absurdity of it. We didn't talk too much to it because, again, it's a kind of sensitive topic. But it was very much like, it was a very absurd time, and everyone was scared, and people were buying out the, like, and I hate...
The grocery stores the toilet paper and all that.
I hate that was the Vancouver, the downtown Vancouver Costco that we saw, like, where the people were, again, like, buying out a bunch of the toilet paper and trying to resell it. Or in New York, the N95 mask debacle, where the guy had a whole suite full of the mask and stuff like that, so...
And there was something like that happened in Victoria, where someone went into a store and bought all the meat and just left nothing for anyone else.
Yeah, and it was very much, yeah, you saw who your real friends were, right?
Yeah.
And so it was very much of that, too. And so, the piece kind of spoke to that, the ones that we lost, and again, it was an attempt to bring everyone out and together. And the show itself was talking about religion through Africa, and then the different effects of different, like, Christianity, Islam, our known kind of religions in Africa, or within, Africa. And so it was very much like awakening in the spirituality of it, too, of like taking the time to acknowledge the people that we've lost and setting the stage to kind of move forward. But you can't move forward without that acknowledgement. So,
and it sounds like there's a lot of interest in Black Arts Vancouver to kind of do some community building and other kind of things like that.
Yeah.
So I was curious about, you guys did a sketch and sip in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other kind of community events that you're planning to do or you thinking about?
Yeah, so we recently got our space. So we're located at 119 West Pender, and that historic Duncan building, but we recently moved in there, and so we're setting it up, and we want to make it comfortable for multiple people to be in the space to host screenings. I really want to do, like, because I know you've probably seen on Main Street and Broadway, there's that screen that's up there that shows a rotation of artist films and short films.
Yeah,
I really want to be able to highlight those in a more intimate way. And then also, like, we're right around the corner from Vancouver's Film School, and so being able to, again, students come and screen your work, you know, be comfortable, have drinks, whatever it may be, but really just finding ways to be, to build community, to be close to each other, and to share before we take that stage, or before we take that step into, you know, the bigger Vancouver society, to kind of showcase your work.
Nice.
And so it's very much a, we're trying to create like a maker space, I call it a HQ because it's like the headquarters of testing out all your ideas, right? So the sketch and sip was one. We're trying to, again, amp up to have people rotate into the space, so like the rental kind of things, but we want to do it at a lower barrier than what we've been seeing. So,
sure,
you know, not like, it's not like a WeWork desk situation,
right?
But it's a very, like, you're able to rent out the space. Yes, there will be other people there, but you're able to be in community with them. And so that's kind of what we're pushing towards for this year and also 2027.
And I guess you mentioned a fundraiser at one point.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that, if you will.
Yeah, so we're having a Mardi Gras fundraiser. Black Arts Vancouver only celebrates Black holidays. So we're doing Mardi Gras as our next big one. The one after Mardi Gras is Ghanaian independence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so We're doing Mardi Gras this year, and it's highlighting artists with chronic illnesses. And so it's a bit of a, again, party for a cause.
Right.
We have an artist coming from, and I talk about being international, but an artist coming from Seattle. She's submitting a video work. Her name is Maya Milton. We also have Adrian Couleur, Dahir Amisa, who's a visual artist and fashion designer here in Vancouver, also Ghanaian. And then we're having it hosted by MX Bukuru, who's well known in the scene for drag and their house of Bukuru. And so it's, again, it's a night of coming out and celebration of the artists that experience these illnesses and these health issues. And also, yeah, it's a fundraiser. It's a fundraiser. We're trying to get ahead of, again, the deficit that Vancouver's Vancouver organizations are kind of facing. So, again, the cutting and the funding and things like that, we really want it to be community funded to a certain extent, again, so you have a hand in it. Mm-hmm. And so you can say that, you know, I helped build this thing.
Right, exactly.
And so it's, I feel like that's the... And this is like, I take a lot of my inspiration from the people that are back home in Oakland. So, like, LaRussell is out there doing his, funding his album. And so there's, again, you pay what you can, pay what you want towards, like, a purchase of an album. And then, interestingly enough, what he did was he took a really big donation and ended up donating it back to the community through groceries, through bill payments and things like that. And so, yeah, it's not even, again, it's not even just for the space. It's for the people that are running the space. It's for the artists that are using the materials. We're trying to get sponsorships and things like that too. And speaking of sponsors, it is in partnership with Canadian Blood Services. And so it's through their Partners for Life program. And so it's also highlighting the need for, I say, ethnic blood donations, like specifically from our community, because a lot of the health issues that we do face, we need specific blood donations. And so like I, the one that comes to mind is, again, like sickle cell anemia, and that's a big one that we face in our community. And again, what that looks like is, again, there's a lot of need for, what were they saying, like whole blood, plasma donations and things like that. So just trying to increase awareness over certain
illnesses that are really affecting the Black community that other people might just not know about.
So, and it's also, it's inspiring because of, like, we have a video submission from Maya Milton. And inspiring to hear her story and, like, again, how much you go through that people don't see. Again, it's like that we're trying to uncover that and allow people to connect over that too, because a lot of people face these issues and have no outlet for it.
Right. They, you know, they're basically forced to suffer in silence.
Exactly. Or, you know, they, I don't know, they get misunderstood and, you know, well, you look healthy and you're like, I'm not though.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very much highlighting that under the guise of Mardi Gras, fun and good food from Elbow Patties.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for giving us your time for this interview.
Yeah, no problem.
This is Berlin Beam, Executive Director of the Vancouver Black Arts Society. My name is Matthew. This is CJSF Radio, 90.1 FM.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
Still alive. I'll take my wings. say they stay talking too much. Cause they don't even know my story. Goes back in the day, from the back of the back, don't know how to react. I guess God was looking out for me. I'll take my wounds with all the losers. I'll choose to love with no excuses. Let people judge me cause they can't
let
see.
Let people judge me
that I'm just blessed, don't call me lucky. Ooh, ooh, ooh. They wanna judge, they wanna judge. I turn it up, I turn it up.
Now, ooh, ooh.
They wanna judge, they wanna judge. I turn it up, I turn it up, yeah. Save all the drama for your mama. I know one fight, I know good life, won't blow the light. All the drama for your mama. I'm getting by, I'm getting by. Bye.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was Sade Awele, some local music for you. Before that, we had Matthew's interview with Berlin Beam from the Black Arts Vancouver Society. And I'm joined now in studio by Zarina. Hello again.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, I'm good. Starting off the day very chill.
Yeah, it's always nice on campus in the morning. It's still mm-hmm. quiet and you don't have the hordes of people everywhere quite yet.
Yeah, and driving up you could see the, like, it looked like a sunrise even though it's not the sunrise, but the sky was like pink and orange and you could see the city. It was a really clear day, which was awesome.
Yeah, love the views from up here.
Mm-hmm.
You're here to talk about an event that's happening at UBC today and the, well, I suppose the controversy that has arisen around it. Can you set the stage for us?
Yeah, so essentially what's happening is at UBC this afternoon, there's going to be a,
A speaking event?
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't want to say a conference, I guess. It's just like a guest that is coming to UBC to speak, and it's under the, I think, guise of, you know, trying to incorporate some, I guess, Gen Z interest. Mm-hmm. So